Hi, everybody. Welcome to our show. This is English Digest, and I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We're talking about a famous author in today's program. So famous and so good, so skilled, that she recently won the Nobel Prize for Literature. We're talking about none other than Alice Munro from Canada.
That's probably the most exciting award you can win. We've got different Nobel Prizes in different fields like science and, of course, peace, the Nobel Peace Prize. Here it's for literature, people who write. So I'm sure she was so thrilled to receive this particular award. She's from Canada. Now, Tom and I are Americans, but we have lots of Canadian friends.
Yep.
And so they must feel pretty proud of their fellow Canadian these days because she just won this, the 2013 Nobel Prize for Literature.
You can bet that Canadians are now displaying the Canadian flag proudly on their backpacks as they travel around Asia here. I'm Canadian, aren't we cool? Because our own Alice Munro has won the Pulitzer Prize.
That's right.
I was going to try to read some of her stuff. Uh-huh. I'd heard of her before, but I haven't read her stuff. I don't really know what to buy. I went to Amazon.com and was looking for a book to download, but I couldn't pick one. I didn't know which one I should select, so maybe somebody can give me a recommendation. But in any case here, she's a short story writer. She doesn't really write novels. She writes short stories, which is pretty significant. And we'll talk more about this and her life and her work in today's program. So, hey, let's get to it. Let's read the entire content of our lesson right now. Short story master Munro adds to her long resume. Canadian author Alice Munro was recently selected as the recipient of the 2013 Nobel Prize for Literature. This makes her the 13th woman to receive this honor since the prize originated in 1901. However, Munro is no stranger to literary accolades, as she was selected for the prestigious Man Booker Prize in 2009. Munro has remained one of the most respected short story writers in the world for nearly half a century. Literary critics have called her a master of the contemporary short story, and she is often compared to the esteemed Russian writer Anton Chekhov, since their tales both deal with the trials and tribulations of the human spirit. Born in 1931, Munro started writing as a teenager. In 1968, she published her first collection of short stories entitled Dance of the Happy Shades. Prior to that, Munro worked several odd jobs, including tobacco picker, waitress, and library clerk, but she never gave up writing. Most of Munro's short stories are set in the vicinity of her hometown of Wingham in Ontario, Canada. Two common themes in her work are the difficulties that young girls confront as they come of age and the harsh realities of growing up in small towns. What truly sets Munro apart from other writers is her outstanding ability to dig deeply into the psyche of her characters and to express their humanity. When given the Nobel Prize for Literature, Munro said she hoped that her victory would attract more attention to the craft of short stories, which rarely receives as much attention as full-length novels.
So we're focusing today on short story master Alice Munro. Here the title says that she's adding to her long resume. If you have a resume, it's a short document that describes your education, your work history, and when you go for a job interview, you will hand your resume over to the person who's interviewing you so they can see what your background is like. So you need one when you're applying for a job. She has quite a long resume because, well, she's not exactly young, but she's also achieved quite a lot as a writer, as an author over her career.
Right, so here's something she can put on her resume and show it off if she's looking for a job. Now, as we mentioned before, she's from Canada. Anything from Canada is Canadian. That's the adjective. So she's a Canadian author. Her name is Alice Munro, and she was recently selected as the recipient of the 2013 Nobel Prize for Literature. If you're the recipient of something, that is the person or thing that receives something, usually an award. In American football, we have receivers. The quarterback will pass the ball, but that person is not called the recipient of the ball.
No.
That person is called the receiver. So recipient is usually used only to talk about people who get awards.
Yeah. I was trying to think if we use it when someone gets a heart transplant or a lung transplant. He's the recipient of that organ. You
can
say that.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can use it for things outside of people who receive awards, but chiefly or primarily it's used for that. This makes her the 13th woman to receive this honor. So most of these awards have gone to men. The prize originated in 1901. So they've been giving this award away for quite a while. To originate means to start. So it started back in 1901, and since then, 13 women have received this honor. It's kind of a cool award to get. It's probably the best award you can get as a writer. It's kind of cool, huh?
Originates.
Plus,
yes.
Tom, let's mention the fact they get money when they win this prize.
That's the best part.
Almost
$1 million. Oh, wow. Yeah. You could use that to buy a new typewriter or something like that. But again, here, the prize originated in 1901. This reminds me, recently somebody asked me, how did the term in English okay originate? Where did that come? Is it from English? Is it from some other language? And I wasn't really sure. I don't think a lot of people know that.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I looked it up. It said it had something to do with an American election or something like that. But even that dictionary wasn't 100% sure. It said probably from some person who was running for office in the 1800s in the United States. Don't quote me on that, though. But in any case here, this is the prize we're talking about. It began or originated way back in 1901. However, Monroe is no stranger to literary accolades. So, however, but she's no stranger to literary accolades. To be a stranger to something means that, well, you aren't familiar with that, but this phrase is most often used in the negative. I'm no stranger to poverty. In other words, I've been poor all my life. I know all about it, for example.
If you're talking about literary is an adjective. It just means it's related to literature. And an accolade is some sort of award or an expression of praise. If people say, oh, she's great, and they're giving you lots of compliments, those are accolades. It's a more formal word, though. Typically, we'll just say, oh, she was getting lots of compliments from people. But if you get accolades, it's usually something you see in the media, where the press or critics will say how great you are. An accolade also involves getting an award, so that's kind of fun too. And here she's winning, of course, a prize. She was selected for the prestigious, I've heard it pronounced as well, Man Booker Prize back in 2009. So she's no stranger to these nice accolades because she's won other awards. If something's prestigious, it means it's respected, it's admired, typically because it's very successful, it's an important place. We'll often describe some of these universities back east, like Harvard or Princeton or Yale, as being prestigious universities. Or Taiwan University, Taida is a prestigious university here in Taiwan and around the world.
It sure is, and she received the Man Booker Prize. Sometimes referred to just as the Booker Prize. That's an award given for a novel or for fiction to somebody who is from the British Commonwealth of Nations, from England, Scotland, Wales, and then all the places that used to be part of the British Empire, like Canada, Australia, New Zealand, maybe some places in Africa and stuff like that.
So Americans are not going to get this prize.
Yes, they have this prize just to keep the Americans out of there.
Yeah.
Because she's from Canada, that, of course, means it's a Commonwealth country. So she won that prize back in 2009. And Monroe has remained one of the most respected short story writers in the world for a long time, for nearly half a century, which is almost 50 years. To remain means she continues to be respected. Her specialty here is short stories. Not a lot of people write short stories. Most people want to write novels. Hey, how's your novel coming? Are you going to be the next best thing, the next person who's going to write the great American novel? Of course, she wouldn't write an American novel. She's Canadian. But in any case, she specializes in short stories, and she's been doing that for almost 50 years.
A short story is probably between 80 to 150 pages long. If I have to guess, there's no real rule. But once it goes past about 200 pages, it turns into a novel. Not many people write them, as Tom said, so it takes a different kind of writing ability and talent to tell a story very quickly, but make an impact. Literary critics, people who criticize or give their opinions about literature, have called her a master of the contemporary short story. They think she's very, very good at it. If something's contemporary, it means it belongs in our modern time. It's modern. It deals with subjects that are going on today. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty nice compliment to be paid right there, a master of the contemporary short story.
Indeed, and she's often compared to Chekhov. He is an esteemed Russian writer. His first name is Anton. If you're esteemed, that means you're respected and people admire you. Sometimes we often talk about self-esteem, how you feel about yourself. We want to have good self-esteem, have confidence and stuff like that. But also, this does refer to respect. You could be held in high esteem by your coworkers, for example. Or maybe, if you're lucky, you can be a boss of a company that is held in high esteem by your employees. That would be really cool. Most employees hate their bosses.
Well, unfortunately, that's true. Well, that's a pretty important person to be compared to or compared with. You can use either preposition there. Since both of these people, Monroe and Chekhov, their tales deal with the trials and tribulations of the human spirit. Trials and tribulations, these two words are often used together to describe difficult experiences that we go through in life, problems that we have to face. Trials and tribulations could be that you lose your job, or maybe someone in your family passes away, or maybe you're in a serious accident and you are paralyzed. All of these things are difficulties that you have to deal with as part of being a human. All of us have trials and tribulations in our lives.
You could also just say the ups and downs of life. Sometimes things are great, sometimes things are terrible. So she's a master at writing stories that talk about the good things and bad things in life. And I think right now is a good time to take a time out. I'm getting very exhausted here explaining this stuff. I'm going to turn things over to our Chinese teacher right now. Take it away.
大家好，我是Tommy。 今天要和大家介绍的新闻是 2013年 的诺贝尔文学奖得主 Alice Monroe。 首先让我们看到标题 Short Story Master Monroe adds to her long resume。 这边的resume 我们不把它念作resume。 resume是继续 重新开始的意思 当动词用。 例如 After a short break, he resumed his task。 休息一下之后 他继续他的工作。另外,要注意的是, resume后面如果接动词的话, 记得要变成动名词, V-I-N-G. 例如, He stopped to take a sip of water and then resumed speaking. 他停下来喝一小口水, 然后继续说下去。回到课文标题, 这边的resume 是名词, 是履历或简历的意思。 Resume 是英文的外来语, 来自法文, 原意是 summarize, 概述, 总结的意思。 标题的resume, 如果我们依照英英字典更精确的定义, 是 a list of achievements的意思, 所以标题我们可以这样说, 短篇小说大师孟洛为他的成就再添一笔。 接着, 我们看到第二段第一句, Monroe has remained one of the most respected short story writers in the world for nearly half a century. 这边先注意到 half 念成 half 而不是 half, L 不发音, 请同学留意。再来, Remain 是保持什么什么状态的意思。Remain 是连缀动词，其后搭配名词或形容词。例如课文中 ,Monroe has remained one of the most respected short story writers. 意思是说孟洛一直都是最受尊崇的短篇小说家之一。或者我们也可以说 ,Climate change remains a serious issue. 气候变迁仍然是严肃的议题。要注意 remain 搭配形容词而不是副词，例如She remained silent all day long. 她整天沉默不语。要说 remain silent, 而不是 remain silently.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue talking about Alice Munro. She's a famous Canadian author. She specializes in short stories. And just in case you didn't know it, she won the 2013 Nobel Prize for Literature. Let's talk a little bit about her history. She's been with us for quite some time. She was born in 1931, and she started writing as a teenager, so she had an early interest in writing. A teenager, of course, is a person who is aged between the age of 13 and 19. It's that simple.
Well, in 1968, she published her first collection of short stories entitled Dance of the Happy Shades. Now, if you write short stories, you can't just print or publish one. Usually it's a collection that's a group of different short stories that they put into one book, and then they publish that. So that's the collection of short stories. And hers was entitled or called Dance of the Happy Shades. To entitle something means that's what you're naming it. You're going to call it by that particular name.
Exactly. So she published this collection of short stories entitled Dance of the Happy Shades. I'm not quite sure what that's referring to. A shade, that could be something in your window that blocks out the sunlight. Shades is also a slang term for sunglasses. Hey, nice shades you got there.
Hey, but, thanks.
You're going to have to read this book yourself to find out exactly what that means here. But prior to that, she worked several odd jobs, which I'll get to in just a second. Prior to something just means before that. So if you use the word prior, you need to use the word to, prior to that. So before that, before she published this book, she had several odd jobs. Odd usually means unusual, strange, weird, but here odd just means assorted, maybe part-time jobs that people don't really do for a long time. You can't really make a lot of money doing them. Like working in a gas station, mm-hmm. for example, is an odd job, or washing dishes at a restaurant is an odd job. I had several odd jobs when I was in college, for example.
You did. I picked up odd jobs in the summertime when I was in high school. I would either work maybe at a department store for a couple months. I'd work for my dad. I would deliver newspapers, just things that you could do to earn some little, a little extra spending money. So those are odd jobs. They don't last very long, do they?
No.
They're not planned. They're not very regular. She wasn't doing them for very long. Well, that's what she had to do to pay the bills before she published her first collection of short stories. Now, what were some of these odd jobs? Well, she was a tobacco picker. Someone who picks tobacco is somebody who goes out into the fields where they're growing tobacco plants, and they actually harvest those plants. That's a tobacco picker. She also worked as a waitress, a library clerk, but while she was doing these odd jobs, she was also writing in her free time. She never gave up her writing.
No, she didn't. So she worked all these odd jobs while she was aspiring to be a writer. And now the rest is history, of course. And tobacco, of course, is the plant used to make cigarettes and cigars and stuff like that. I didn't know they had tobacco in Canada. But in any case here, most of Monroe's short stories are set in the vicinity of her hometown of Wingham in Ontario, Canada. I don't have a map of Canada with me right now. Ontario is huge. That's one of the provinces in Canada. It's an eastern province. And, of course, Toronto is where... Toronto is a city in Ontario. It's the biggest city in Ontario.
It sure is. Well, it's in the vicinity of her hometown. The vicinity just means in that area around the place or near a particular place. Two common themes that you'll find in her work, two different kinds of subjects, you could say, are the difficulties that young girls confront as they come of age, and number two, the harsh realities of growing up in small towns. Now, if you confront something, it means you come face to face with it. You have to deal with it. Maybe you've had to confront danger in front of you at times, or maybe you've had to confront some difficult problems in your life and deal with them. When you talk about young people coming of age or people who come of age, it means that's the period of time where they go from being a teenager to becoming a young adult. So maybe the age of maybe 16 to 20, you know, you change a lot during those years. You learn a lot. Your body changes a lot. You're deciding who you're going to be in life. It's an important time of life. You're coming of age.
Right. So that's one theme in her works. The other is the harsh realities of growing up in small towns. You might think that people from small towns, they have it made. Everything's easy out there. It's quiet. There's no pollution and stuff like that. But no, there are problems out there. There indeed are harsh realities of growing up in that small town. Harsh just means very rough and very difficult. Harsh light, for example, could be bad for your eyes. And here, there are harsh realities. We often talk about the harsh realities. You could also say the hard realities of life. Life is no picnic. Things are rough sometimes. You have to face up to reality.
Well, what truly sets Monroe apart from other writers, which just means what makes her different, is her outstanding ability to dig deeply into the psyche of her characters. And that's how she helps them express her humanity. Now, outstanding means really terrific, right? When you dig into something or dig deeply into something, it means you look very carefully for information about something. You try to show us something quite clearly. You give us a good look into something. Psyche is a word. It's kind of a weird word, huh?
Yeah.
Because you don't say that P, you just say the psyche. It just means the soul or mind, the personality of a person. She really wants you to understand the characters in her books, and she wants to express their humanity. What about them makes them people? What about them makes them special? What kind of qualities do they have? Your humanity is the quality or state of you being a human being. You're not an animal. If you're human, you like to treat other people the way you want to be treated.
Humanity having to do with being human. Sometimes we talk about crimes against humanity, people torturing people and stuff like that. And yes, they need to express their humanity. And, well, she was given the Nobel Prize for Literature, and when that happened, she said she hoped that her victory would attract more attention to the craft of short stories. Craft here means the skill or the discipline. We often talk about the craft of various things, the craft of photography, for example, of being a good photographer and knowing how to take good pictures and stuff like that. The skill in making things by hand, that is a craft. We often talk about crafts, you know, like a macrame and knitting and stuff like that. Those are crafts. But here we're talking about the craft or skill of writing short stories. She thinks they don't receive enough attention.
Yeah, she thinks that typically full-length novels get more attention than short stories, which is true. If it's full-length, it means it has the normal length that you expect. It hasn't been shortened. And typically, people who write novels win that Nobel Prize for Literature and not short story authors. So she's pretty excited. She's pretty proud that she can represent people who are out there writing short stories. And her wish is that they'll receive more attention in the future because of this prize she's just won.
I am so inspired by this. I'd like to check out a collection of her short stories. Say, maybe Mike is around here somewhere. He's a Canadian. I'll ask him for a recommendation. Which of her books should I read? And indeed, she says that short stories have not received as much attention as full-length novels. People just don't really pay attention to them so much they don't really take them seriously. And I understand that if you read her short stories and Chekhov's short stories, it's good for business because you'll be able to read people better and tell who's good for business and who isn't. It's very advisable to check out these stories. You can make some money by doing so. Okay, that brings us to the end of our program for today. Here's our Chinese teacher.
我们再看到第三段第二句。 In 1968, she published her first collection of short stories entitled Dance of the Happy Shades. Entitled 是为什么什么取名的意思，是人为书取名，所以书是被取名。课文句子 Entitled 前面省略了 which is， 还原之后变成 In 1968,She published her first collection of short stories, which is entitled Dance of the Happy Shades. 她于1968年出版了第一本短篇小说集，而这本短篇小说集呢，被取名为《舞在快乐的阴影》，which 代表的是前面 her first collection of short stories. 此外，Entitled 也有使某某人有权利的意思，常用于被动句型 Be entitled to 名词或动名词 ving， 就是有权利做什么什么的意思。例如 Only members of the band are entitled to use these instruments， 意思是只有这个乐团的成员才可以使用这些乐器。再来，我们看整篇课文的最后一句话。When given the Nobel Prize for Literature, Monroe said she hoped that her victory would attract more attention to the craft of short stories, which rarely receives as much attention as full-length novels. 获颁诺贝尔文学奖时，孟洛说，他希望他的成功会为短篇小说这个艺术吸引更多注意。而短篇小说呢，在孟洛得奖以前，一直以来很少会受到像长篇小说一样多的注意。首先，诺贝尔文学奖叫做 The Nobel Prize for Literature， 而我们常听到的诺贝尔和平奖叫做 The Nobel Peace Prize。 S 是和什么什么一样，如何如何的意思。S 和 S 的中间可以放形容词原级、副词原级、much 加不可数名词，以及 many 加复数名词。例如 ，I sold as many clothes as that clerk， 意思是，我和那名店员卖一样多的衣服。以上是今天的课程，我们下次见。
That's all the time we have for today, guys. Thanks for joining us and come back soon. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
Bye.